You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Let's talk about your man Kanye West.
Woo!
The long-awaited, highly anticipated album, EP, whatever we're calling this thing.
Quick moment, quick thought.
It's a quick strike.
It's 100% a quick strike.
Yes, Armand, what's a quick strike for people who don't know?
Quick strike is when sneakers come out unannounced and there are not a whole lot of pairs that were made and they're very hard to get.
But wasn't,
and as quick as they come, they leave.
And there wasn't a lot of hype. And
Yep. Like Travis Scott's coming out with some shoes this Friday, some Jordan 4s. Those are considered a quick strike. You don't know what stores. You only know a few stores that are going to have them. You don't really know a whole lot of information. And there's a really good chance that you're not going to be able to get them.
So the comparison doesn't totally hold up. Sorry about that. But so.
Well, I mean, a little bit. I mean, we knew the Kanye album was coming.
We knew it. Yeah.
Some quick strikes are out the blue. Some quick strikes are, you know, they're coming, but you just don't know how.
Right. Like this Travis Scott one has been rumored for a while. There's been photos for a while.
Mm-hmm. There's been photos for a while, but you didn't know when. You didn't know how many. I've heard there's only 15,000 pairs worldwide. So you're probably not going to get.
Right.
You're probably not going to get a pair.
So Kanye has been making trips out to Wyoming.
Yes, for quite a while.
To work on what we now know are a variety of good music projects.
Yep.
This is the second of five?
Five, yeah.
Because after this, we've got Kanye and Kid Cudi. We've got Nas. And we've got Teyana Taylor.
Yep.
So we knew he was out in Wisconsin. In Wyoming.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. And, you know, there had been a lot of like Instagrams and Snapchats and everything of, oh, this person's out at Jackson Hole. And that can only mean one thing. And so there was all these sorts of rumors. I mean, this sort of notion of like people like going out to where Kanye's recording, like this is not a new thing, right? This sort of started with Dark Twisted Fantasy with that incredible complex article. But with the era of social media, like it's in real time now, basically, right?
Is that Watch the Throne documentary out?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm gonna look it up real quick.
Anyway,
but yeah, keep talking.
So keep talking. So, you know, we knew he was working. We knew he was working with people. A lot of the people who were spotted in Wyoming are nowhere to be found on this album at all. But
you know why, right?
Well, we're gonna talk about that.
Okay.
And the reason why
it's not on YouTube. That's crazy.
The reason why is because Kanye scrapped the album.
Yep.
About a month ago.
Yeah, after everything hit the fan, right?
After his visit to TMZ, which was on May 1st, he scrapped the album. There are at least two songs on here that I know of that were put together on the last day.
Do you know that?
I can say publicly, yes.
okay.
So.
okay, so.
It's okay. So.
Can I brag?
No, we're not bragging about anything. So,
you are not offending your political connects at all.
First of all, I want to thank my connects.
100%.
No, so this album came together at the last minute. Like, it was when, so the listening party was Thursday night, was what, 10 o'clock Wyoming time, so midnight East Coast time. I always assumed that would be when it was, but I guess it was supposed to start a little earlier. But Mike Dean was literally finishing the mastering. And that's
I thought they were waiting on the game one to be over.
No, Mike Dean was finishing up the mastering.
Wow.
And the last minute nature here applies to lots of things. There are people who there are samples that did not get cleared. There are people who did not get credited correctly. There are all sorts of, because when you put an album together because the two songs that I know because I've read about it online or in tweets on the last day are I Thought About Killing You and Ghost Town changed quite dramatically at the last moment.
Mm.
So when you've got issues like when you've got this last minute stuff, it's really hard to do all the stuff that normally comes with releasing an album.
Mm.
Who's got credit? Did we clear this? Is this okay? Right. And there's, you know, was it Ebro who was talking about how on Yikes, how, you know, Drake wrote the hook.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even though that's not the part that feels like Drake to me, but anyway,
okay.
But you know, he's not credited there. And so part of that is like, it's this whole thing that Kanye is doing now. And I don't really know how I feel about it, but like another podcast I listened to, this guy's name is Max Temkin. He's the, he's actually the creator of Cards Against Humanity. If you've ever heard of that, but he has
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yep.
So he has a, like a sort of a comedy kind of quirky podcast I listen to called Dubai Friday. It's great. Not like Dubai Whips, but like Dubai Friday. And so
Dubai Whips.
That's right.
So, I was late on that, okay. But that's hilarious.
So he talked about this concept. I heard this on like podcast like a week or two ago, of this idea that you learn in economics about stock and flow, right? And so the way it applies to the internet and the way that we consume things now, stock is the durable stuff, right? It's the content you produce that's as interesting in 2 months as it is today. It's what people discover via search. It's what spreads slowly but surely, building fans over time, right? Mm-hmm. Flow is the feed. Posts, tweets, Snapchat, Instagram stories. It's the stream of like daily and multiple times throughout the day updates to let people know that you're out there, right? Mm. Music delivery is shifting heavily and has mostly shifted, but is shifting to flow.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot about creating music that is still in the stock era. And there are a lot of fans, I think you and I are in that, who are still, we have at least a foot in the stock era.
Yes.
And so this is an album created out of flow, for better or worse. And I think there are real problems here, right? But for better or worse, this is a flow album for the flow era, right? Put together last minute, credits are all over the place, cover art shot at the last minute. And that flow era really kind of fits in with, I mean, Kanye talks about on the album, right? Being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And he, mm-hmm. I mean, all you have to do is pay attention to Kanye's career. He clearly goes through what we can now, I think, officially call manic episodes of being incredibly productive and making these grand statements. And like, you know, it's not hard to, he talks about being bipolar now. You go back and listen to tracks like I Am a God and you go, okay, well, sure, that kind of makes sense now. Right. in the sense okay. of like, that's something that comes out of people who have manic episodes, right? Feeling.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just talking about, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about the first lyrics that you hear on this album are, you know, I call my cousins, I call the Muslims, I'm about to go dumb.
Right.
I don't know if people are just thinking that he means dumb, like, you know, like slang
like
dumb.
Like dumb hard.
Yeah. But like, I think he's saying, I'm calling my friends and I'm calling close confidants and I'm calling people that I trust because I'm going crazy. Like he's been open about this for years and people still aren't grasping that, but we'll get into that when we talk about the album. We go track by track.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like all that to say, I'm not trying to excuse this album because I think there's real problems here. And I think that this album shows many of the flaws in a short album versus Daytona.
10,000%.
But I want to start going track by track.
Let's do it.
All right. Track one, I Thought About Killing You. Produced by Kanye and Mike Dean with Benny Blanco and Francis and the Lights sort of helping out. They get, it's weird how credits work on this album. There are producers, writers, and if you look at the title credits, there are composers.
Yeah.
In hip hop, not quite clear to me the difference between a composer and a producer, especially since if you just like played keys, you get credited differently. So we're just going to say helping out.
But it's clear if you are somewhat familiar with Francis's music, like that's his melody.
So that's definitely
the main
right.
melody is one.
So that's him on the opener. And that second beat is actually a lot of him too, which is interesting. So like musically, I love this song.
Yeah. The music and the beat is really dope.
Francis on the opener, that beat switch halfway through. I even like Kanye's flow when he's rapping on the intro.
Yep.
I think that's great.
Yep.
But lyrically and content wise, it's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
This spoken word intro, I don't know, man.
So, you know, people think that he's talking about Jay-Z.
You think he's talking about Jay-Z?
No, I said people think he's talking about Jay-Z.
Who are these people?
I've heard people say that this is about Jay-Z. If you look at the intro to 444, it's called Kill Jay-Z.
No. Like,
yeah, I was like, I said, if it's about anybody, it's about Kim.
Well, right. And so like, this is going to sound really morbid and terrible. Like, man, if they ever had issues and if Kim ever accused him of anything, they're going to play this intro in court.
Yeah.
Like this whole idea of I love myself and I've thought about killing myself. So, of course, I've thought about killing you. Let me get a lot of caveats out there. Right. I'm very lucky. I have never battled depression or bipolar, or I've never had to deal with mental illness in that sort of way. So I can't even begin to sort of really try to like comprehend and understand that. But like, I've never heard about that connection between homicide and suicide in that way before.
Mm.
Like, cause part of this, what's really interesting is like, clearly he's talking about him being bipolar, but also like, you know, right. The beautiful thoughts are always inside the darkest, but like it's fused with his narcissism.
Yes.
Like he loves himself and he's thought about killing himself. So what does he think about you? And it's like, that's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
I mean, it's fascinating and interesting. And like, in a way where it's like, man, I can't think, like, I know there have been other artists who have talked about problems, issues, etc., more and more transparency, I'm using air quotes there, as time goes on, which I'm sure you have a lot to say about. But this is frank and scary in a way that a, like, upper echelon, top tier artist, I can't recall has, at least in hip hop, has ever been.
Yeah. I'll say, yeah, in hip, I'm sure there are other genres of music where people have been very upfront and honest. Yeah. And you've got hip hop that has never really been open and transparent, especially dealing with mental health. And you've got an African-American male. Men have not been open about mental health, and blacks have not been open about mental health. So there's a nice little mixed drink of antithesis, breaking norms, if you will. We'll get into it, but this song and Yikes definitely sound like somebody who has been in a lot of therapy. And I mean that in a good way, because I hear him processing.
Yeah.
He's saying these things and he's processing how he feels about these things. And he's not sure if it's okay to be okay about these things, if he should be scared. I think that's why Yikes is called Yikes. You know what I'm saying? I think that there's, you know, sometimes I scare myself. That's the hook, right? So I think all those things tie in together. And yeah, like I'm not, it's terrifying, but, and it could be used against them. But I say that all the time, like real transparency can be used against you because it's authentic and it's really honest. And if we're honest, we don't always have the best thoughts about things and people, and particularly people that we love. I'm not justifying it, but I'm saying that it's 100% a thing. So yeah, other than that, musically, I agree with you. Content wise, yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool on a lot of this album content wise, but we'll get there. But the music on this first, I Thought About Killing You is really, really dope.
So the, right off the bat, like you kind of get a sense of how rushed this is, because right after the beat switches and there's that whole, I don't see no like part where he sort of does, I don't see no cape. Then he sort of, he seemingly left like places for him to go back and put words, and instead he's just,
oh, that's all throughout this album.
Well,
yes.
But right, but it's like, wow, like, and so the sample that is used on this second part of the beat, I believe, was not cleared, and so the artists were, you know, felt some kind of way about it, and Francis Lights went on Twitter and was basically like, I'm really sorry, like this happened last minute, no, like we intended on doing all this, like, and it, because like I guess that beat got added like the day of, basically they didn't have time to get everything cleared and everything else. So like that second part of me is like, yeah, there's a dope feel to that, but like he's not really saying much anything on that second part. He's got some real questionable punchlines.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
yeah, buckwheat niggas is gonna be Ote.
Yeah,
really, really bad.
chip like Frito-Lay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's got some dope lines in there, but he's got some cringies too.
Yeah. Like actually like that whole opening, I mean, once he starts rapping, like, you know, so bright it's no sun, so loud I hear none, like yep. that whole part I was like, "Oh, okay. Okay."
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But you know, like to me what's here, like this totally, like I swear, like another like 18 hours on this song. And that's not 18 straight hours. I mean, like, let it sit, come back, do a little bit more. Yeah. Like, a finished version of this would have been really dope.
I think we're gonna say that a few times.
Okay. But, like, what's there largely works, but I think there should be more here.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree with you.
So we go pretty quickly into Yikes, which is produced by Kanye, Mike Dean, and a new producer signed to Mike Dean named Apex Martin.
Okay.
So let's get it out of the way right now. When it says Kanye produced all of this, like he is producing all of this, but like he also had help because that's the Kanye way.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder, do you think people, when they said, when they heard that, they were thinking this was going to be like College Dropout soul samples?
Like, it's weird. Like, the Kanye beats that, a lot of the Kanye beats that he makes that aren't sample heavy, he's not really known for them. Mm. When people think about the old Kanye, the soul Kanye, they immediately go College Dropout, Graduation.
Right.
They don't go to like any of the other, they don't go to something like anything. They don't go to anything off of Dark Twisted Fantasy.
That's true.
You know, and that album doesn't really, we look at a record like Runaway or I just had it in my head. Or any of the Good Friday stuff.
Right.
Like those are Kanye produced records. They feel and sound like Kanye, but they're not sped up soul samples with bongos.
You imagine if he pulled one of those beats out on this album, that would have been hilarious.
Oh my God. No, thank you.
So like, let me get the good stuff out of the way. I like the beat on here.
I kind of want to rap on this beat.
I kind of like this beat.
Yeah.
The hook the vibe of the hook feels very FML to me off of Pablo. I get a little bit of that. Again, in terms of content, boy. So he's talking a lot about psychedelic drugs, when he was hospitalized after the Pablo tour, he was on quite a cocktail of things.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, like those of us who've grown up on like our musical heroes, as they get older and run into problems, all of a sudden they start using lots and lots of drugs. Like that gives me real pause.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
I need to understand why people have a problem with that line, because I don't hear anything problematic with it.
So Russell Simmons didn't get Me Too'd. Like it's not like it's not like it happened to him like it was an accident.
Yeah, it happened
because he was a creep to women at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about like thinking about what if it happened to me too. And it's like, okay, cute rhyme, but like again, it's not, you don't catch Me Too like you catch a cold.
I hear you. That's the problem people have. Okay. I heard it as, okay, Russell Simmons, it came out that Russell Simmons was being a creep, and for lack of a better term,
creep could be a real positive spin on some of the things, but anyway.
Sure. Okay. So we found out that he was being inappropriate with a lot of women.
That's right.
And Kanye felt bad for him, so he prayed for him, and then he thought about, well, I'm sure I know that I've been inappropriate with women as well, and I could end up in the media for the same things that happened to Russell. That's how I heard it.
That's fair.
it's not a cold. That's funny. But I hear you though. I hear you.
Okay. I hear you. But like this song.
You're a jerk.
I'm a jerk?
Just the way you said that was just hilarious to me. Go ahead.
This outro, you know, basically talking about him being bipolar, how he sees it as his superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, I think that, like, I don't know. I can kind of understand that from the point of view of, like, if he thinks that, like, I don't know if this is true. I'm out on a limb here. But, like, if he thinks it's true that, like, he needs that mania to be really super creative.
Yeah, I think so. I think that has been a constant in his career.
Well, man, that's really challenging as you think about like, oh, but he like if you want to be as healthy as you can be mentally and physically, but a part of the way I want to say your brain works, because that I hate that phrasing. Part of your mental health has been that you have these situations, these episodes, if you want to, for lack of a better term, where you are feeling this euphoria, you are going through these manic episodes. And if that's part of why you have been, in this no joke, one of the greatest hip hop artists of we'll just say of our generation, right?
I think we can say of all time.
Of all time.
At minimum, we could say of our generation, sure.
Right. Well, that puts you in a really tenuous and contradictory and challenging relationship with your own health.
6,000%. Yep. You have to hate the things that hold you back. In order to really get victory over them, you got to hate them, because if you give them any place to like make peace with them, they're either at best, they're going to lie dormant and they'll come back. But it's like, Doc, if you hate the way that you feel when you eat red meat, what do you do? cut red meat out of your diet.
Right.
You know, if you hate the way that your body looks, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you get out of a shower, what do? You start going to the gym. You start making different choices that get you out of how you feel about yourself. And you make a great point. Like if he's going to get well, he has to look at these episodes and not necessarily make peace with them. But you got to go to war with those things.
Hmm.
And not to say that, like, you can give yourself space to say, you know, for them to happen again. Because I think sometimes what we do is we kind of go to extremes. It's all or nothing. It's like, yeah, I hate red meat. But you know what? Man, I had a burger yesterday. But I'm right back in the gym the next day. You got to give yourself room to do that. But if you allow it to be part of your makeup, part of your character, and it's something that you wear proudly, and it's what he kind of sounds like on Yikes, not kind of, that's what he sounds like on Yikes, then yeah, he's going to have a hard time. He's going to look contradictory, as you said. He's going to have a hard time, like, overcoming that.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Yikes as a song?
I don't like the flow. It's weird. I don't like his flow. I don't like his flow.
Yeah, I get that.
It's weird. Like, I don't like him. I don't like the last word of the bar landing on the first bar of the first kick of the first bar. I think probably because I'm just used to the juvenile flow and how he did it.
Yeah.
But I hate I don't like it. That might be one of the reasons why I want to wrap over the beat is I just kind of want to.
You're like, I want to do it right.
Yeah, I just kind of want to rap over it. I just want to shake some rust off. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that.
I was going to say, I'm just encouraged by hearing you say you want to rap.
Oh, stop. I know. I've been really dormant lately. I know.
It's okay. I know. Let's talk about All Mine featuring Jeremiah.
Is
Ty Dolla $ign.
Is that who that is on the hook?
That's right.
Is Jeremiah?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why it sounds like.
Oh, what are you going to say?
I say it sounds like Yachty to me.
Not Yachty. It was rumored to be, is it Valet? Who was Valet?
That's Pusha $ign.
Right.
That person. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but
it's a man.
okay. I haven't heard any of his music. That's why I say that.
No, it was rumored to be that, but no, it's Jeremiah and Ty Dolla, obviously, who has little bit pieces all over this album.
Mm-hmm. He was talking about collaborating with Ye months ago.
Yeah. Produced by Kanye, Mike Dean, and Francis. And
okay,
this is a, super minimal beat,
mm-hmm.
which means we're going to pay attention to the vocals, right? That's kind of the trade-off in music.
Yeah.
So we got some good news and bad news. Actually,
you found good news on this record?
Good news, meh news, and bad news.
Please go ahead, because I've got two thoughts on this song.
To me, the good news is, like, I think the melody of the hook is catchy.
It is.
Okay. That's the good news.
Okay.
The meh news is it's a generic song about a woman with a nice ass. Like, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Okay.
Cool.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
I've heard mm-hmm. it. But what else you got? But the bad news cool story, is that, bro. Boy, Kanye is in corny Kanye territory here.
Yeah. He hits a few spots. He's corny a couple times on Yikes, too. I meant to say that.
Yeah, I'm not. No. Like, the Kerry Washington, like, no. I get, like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm really, really good off the song. But if you look at the streaming numbers, this is the most popular song so far.
Of course it is.
So, which means we know nothing on the show.
Absolutely not. We don't know nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. We're trash. We're out of touch. To me, this is tied for the worst song on the album.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, this is not the worst song on the album to me.
There
are three contenders coming up.
Ooh. Oh boy. Okay. I think I know where you're going, but okay. And I'll argue with you on them for one reason.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay.
I don't like this coming after Yikes and I Thought About Killing You.
Yeah. This is the go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, the first two songs sound like he's like thinking through his thoughts. And then this record like contradicts everything that he said on the first two records.
Well, I mean, isn't that, that's kind of the theme, but I think this is a case where seven tracks hurts.
Yes. We'll get there.
Because you've got stuff crammed in and it's really hard to get a logical sequencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be like, I don't know. I was trying to think of like, if you removed three songs from Yeezus.
Yeah.
Depending on which three you removed, maybe it doesn't impact it that much, or maybe it ruins the album. Seven's a really small number. It's really small.
It is. Yeah, it's weird how it works for Pusha. And it does not work for Kanye West. We'll get into that. There is a silver lining in that statement, though, and I'll get there.
Wouldn't Leave, featuring Party, Jeremih, and Ty Dolla $ign.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all true. Am I seeing Ty Dolla $ign here, right? He's at the end? Yeah.
Yeah, Ty Dolla $ign's on here. Tarius is on here, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's Jeremih.
Oh, wow. Danny, come on, man.
I know.
Gotta give my man Tarius some burn, man. What's up?
Tarius sees Jeremih on here, and he's just like, man, listen.
Yeah, he definitely is the author meme. He's definitely like squeezing his fist every time he sees Jeremih.
This is produced by Kanye, Mike Dean, and this part of the song is built around, which is kind of interesting. It's built around a jam session that Justin Vernon from Bon Iver did with another indie rocker. They were both on like Justin Vernon was playing gospel samples on a sampler, and this other guy is on piano and synth. And then they made this like jam session, and then that's part of that sample here.
You know I feel away with all these gospel samples.
I know,
right?
You do. you would have been mad. The song you sent me earlier this week, I had a very Ninth Wonder-esque chop going over here this afternoon, and then I was like, nah, it sounds too much like Ninth Wonder. I'm not that. Anyway. Yeah, Kanye and Mike Dean with some help, I guess, whatever you want to call it, from Justin Vernon. So I get the idea behind the song, which is basically, thank you, Kim, for not leaving me.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm not a fan of the song at all.
Hmm.
Content-wise, musically, no. This is like sappy in a way. It's sappy, but then like the lyrics don't feel serious enough to justify. And like, it's not bad. It's just, eh. Am I missing something?
Yeah, I can appreciate the sentiment. And I've definitely talked to people offline who went to their significant other and apologized and said, I appreciate you for sticking around and I haven't always been the best partner and yada, yada, yada. So that's great that this song inspired that. I'm totally cool with that. I love the melody of the chords of this song.
Mm.
So much so that it really lets me forgive everything else on this song.
Wow.
Like, I love the chords. I love the chord progression on this song. Love it. Yeah, I hear you on everything else. I hear you on everything else. I don't think you're wrong. But, you know, we reconcile the things that we want to reconcile with.
There you go.
It is what it is.
I have nothing else to say about this song.
Okay, let's keep going.
So let's move on to round two of the Girl, I'm Sorry section of the album. No Mistakes, featuring Charlie Wilson and Kid Cudi, produced by Kanye, Mike Dean, and Che Pope.
Yeah.
This is a dope sample.
Yep.
I like the Slick Rick sample.
Yeah, the Slick Rick sample is so dope. Yep.
I feel like this is a song that could and maybe does kind of work, but there's parts of it that just don't work for me at all, even though that hook somehow gets stuck in my head. Oh, man.
It does. It does. I almost wish there was another hook, though. I think this is another record that if they would have spent 18 more hours on it, it would have been amazing.
And I mean, there's one verse.
Right. There's a few records. The other record has one verse.
Yeah. This is not the only song that has one verse. But yeah, like I feel like there might have been another move or like a bridge after. Or they could have, like, there was something.
Yeah.
But
there was more to do with this song.
And
it's why I said, you know, when I was trying not to live tweet the stream, but when I heard it, I was like, this album isn't done. This isn't coming out tomorrow.
Surprise!
And then I wake up in the morning, yeah, and Doc sends me a text at 7 in the morning like, hey, check Apple Music.
Yeah, it's like, surprise, it's out. Why is there a jab at Drake on here? Are we assuming it's a jab at Drake?
Yeah, like, how is this people say this is a jab. How is Calm Down, You Light Skin a jab?
It's the Truth Told, I Like You. It's very stay over there, little boy.
I don't even think it's, you know, Kanye looks like somebody who can't fight. So this almost looks like how rich people would respond to conflict.
Calm down, you like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know, truth told, I like you. I like you. Like, we don't have to do this. I understand that you like me, but I like you. So all your energy that's on your side. That's what he would say.
So how last minute is this song?
Exactly.
Or at least how last minute is that part of the verse?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a very short song. I shouldn't say, like, I don't hate this song. I just, like, I think it could have been more. I think that's part of it. It could have been more to me. But yeah. But you like it.
No. I like the beat. I don't like the song. I feel like there could have been more to this. There was more to this song. This should have been more.
Let's talk about Ghost Town.
Yeah.
Featuring Party.
Yep.
Kid Cudi.
Yep.
And so I should have looked this up. Is it 70 Shake? Is that how we pronounce this?
I don't know if it's 070 Shake or if it's, oh man.
It's gotta be 070 Shake. I meant to listen to a video that she was in or something so I could get, that's my
I'm
bad.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
You look it up right now?
Yeah.
We'll get it on the fly.
What's up guys? This is Yes Jules and I'm here doing Vivo Discover Ones to Watch. Today we are here with 070 Shake.
070 Shake, there it is. All right.
070 Shake.
070 Shake.
Why are you interviewing? That's so trash. You're interviewing the artist that you discovered. on another platform. That's hilarious. Anyway, yes, 070
Shake.
070 Shake,
Kid Cudi, Party, produced by Kanye, Mike Dean, Benny Blanco, and Francis and the Lights.
Benny Blanco provided the sample.
Is that what he did?
I don't know, but isn't he one of those guys that they get samples from? They get
No. Benny Blanco is he is actually well known for doing pop stuff, and he actually produced a lot of he's produced a lot of Francis' most recent stuff.
Okay.
But no, like Benny Blanco's produced for like Ariana Grande, and like he's done huge. Oh, okay. Pockets.
Got it.
This song is something else.
There's a lot going on here.
It is.
Let's break it down.
It is such a combo of styles and sounds. And like, to me, this is a great example of like, I don't want to say this is a song that only Kanye West could do, but like, who else tries songs like this?
Yeah.
You've got the sample. You've got Party kind of doing like some singing, but then you've got Kid Cudi on this ridiculous over the top hook.
Oh my God.
Then you've got the verse. Then you've got this whole separate outro from 070 Shake, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It mostly all works to me. This song is not perfect.
This is another song that could have benefited from more hours.
Kid, how do you feel about Kid Cudi's hook?
I hate Kid Cudi's part.
It's almost so bad it's good.
I'm not a Kid Cudi fan. So like literally his only high moment for me is Father Stretch My Hands. That is the only redeeming quality I could ever say about Kid Cudi.
So with that in mind, everybody, tune in next week when Armand and I review Kid Cudi and Kanye West's album.
Yeah, I'm going into that album with zero expectations.
The arms are crossed.
But I have a theory. Speaking of that, we didn't even get to talk about Black Thought, the Black Thought album.
I've got a real quick review for you.
Okay.
It's boring.
Yeah.
It was really boring.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my review.
Black Thought, if everybody says that you're underrated, you're not underrated. And I said that a few weeks ago or a few months ago when the Hot 97 freestyle came out. Everything that I feel like a Black Thought and Ninth Wonder project is for people who don't really listen to rappity rap. And this is like their casual listen and they feel like they're supposed to like it because Black Thought can rap and Ninth Wonder represent a certain type of feel in hip hop that is missing. But if we're actually breaking it down and saying, is this good? It's not bad. You're right. It's boring. And I think that Sky Zoo's album does for me what Black Thought's album is doing for everybody else.
I thought Ninth Wonder kind of let him down with the production, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the intro beat is dope. I like Rhapsody's verse on their collab.
I am not a fan of Rhapsody's verse at all. I'm just like, the way that I hear Rhapsody, I think is the way you hear Master Killa.
Hey man, the dumb are mostly intrigued by the drum.
Where I'm just like, could you speed up your flow, please?
Yeah, she's somebody, it's really hard for her to, like production has to carry her.
Mm.
Where she's almost like, oh, who was that? I can't even think of who that was. Recently came out with a project and it was just all one speed.
Mm.
I can't even think of who it was, but it was recent. But yeah, I understand it. Rhapsody's not for everybody. And I think she works better in small doses. That's why I liked her EP, her most recent EP, more than her album. Because that album was too much. But yeah, okay, there's that. Because people were asking about the Black Thought album. So there's that. Okay, back to Kanye.
So this song, at least an early version of the song, was supposed to be on Kids See Ghosts, the Kanye and Kid Cudi album.
Mm-hmm.
But according to 070 Shake, they finished this song and she did the outro for it like the day of.
Mm-hmm.
So some form of this song kind of existed. But so it'd be interesting to see, is this like a hint at what Kids See Ghosts is going to sound like? But I actually really like Kanye on here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ironically, he might have the best singing voice of anybody on the song.
Yeah, Kanye's singing voice has always been, we think about rappers who sing, don't sing particularly well, but it works. I think Cole does it a lot. You got Kanye. Who else sings a lot?
Well, and even though he's totally doing the same sort of, it's like his flow is a little similar, but definitely his tone, very reminiscent of Runaway, right? But but it works. It totally works for me.
I'm cool with Kanye on this record.
And 070 Shake is somehow kind of off tune, but
there's no kind of,
but completely crushes this outro. This outro, first of all, is going to be played in a movie, and it's going to be like some dramatic scene. But when they play this live in a very large arena or stadium, the entire audience is going to sing along.
Well, do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember how they were treating it at the listening?
No, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, it was like they like hoisted her up.
Yeah.
And they were like bouncing her up and down like this was her moment. And from what people are talking about on this album, the two MVPs are Charlie Wilson and 070 Shake.
Charlie Wilson is not an MVP on this album.
People like that. I think people just like Charlie Wilson. Like I think that's true. I don't mind him on the hook. Like I said earlier, I wish there was like this song had a different hook. But you know, people like Charlie Wilson. People like Charlie last name Wilson.
But no, I mean, I think the outro on this is like tremendous. She's definitely not in tune, but it doesn't matter, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's not anything I was expecting at all out of this song, right? I'm a fan of this song.
Okay.
I'm guessing you're not.
Not really.
Okay.
The beat is dope. Kanye's dope. I don't like Cudi. I don't like the outro, but I agree with you. Like that's gonna be a big part. That's gonna be big. Again, another song that would have benefited off of more time.
And then we end up with Violent Crimes.
You know what's funny? Hold on, one more thing. I was listening to this album today and I was riding in the car with my son, and I was asking my son is 9, and he was asking, I was asking him questions just about music, who he likes, what his favorite song is, et cetera, et cetera. And we got quiet. And when Shake's part came on, he looked at me and was like, "Dad, what is this?" And I said, "This is Kanye West's new album. Do you know who Kanye is?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, I don't like this album. I don't like this song. What is this?"
Mm.
I said, "Huh. All right, son."
You're like, "You're okay with me, kid."
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, "All right, this is what we're gonna do."
I just picturing that you're holding up, like you're like, "All right, what about this song?" You play like a Kid Cudi song, and you're like sort of giving a face like you're not supposed to like this, but you're waiting to see if he likes it. And you're like, "Okay, good. You don't like it. Next one." Sort of like a good bad sort of comparison.
Yeah, that's my boy.
So let's talk about Violent Crimes, featuring Ty Dolla $ign, 070 Shake, and I mean, if you want to call it a feature, Nicki Minaj.
right.
This song is just straight up produced by Kanye. So
boy. This is 100% Kanye's Forever Young production wise.
Mm.
It just sounds like a really bad European.
The beat is fine. The beat's fine. It doesn't do it for me, but it's not offensively bad or anything. It's fine.
Okay.
The content, boy.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people.
Mm. So, look, I'm not the first to talk about these problems, so this won't be some original thought here. Problem one, the idea that men are dogs until they have a daughter. So, like, your daughter's, and by extension, you also hear this with, like, your wife, right? Your daughter or your wife's, or it's not the woman's or this girl's job to save you. It also doesn't, like, excuse what you've done to date, right? It's kind of problem one with this whole like idea of like, well, you know, guys are terrible till they have daughters. And it's like, well, is it guys are terrible? Is it you were terrible? Like, I don't know. I have a lot of issues with this. To me, this is the same thing. Like if a politician, especially like this always happens with conservative politicians who are notably often not in favor of what I would call policies that are women centric. Or that specifically will help women in need. But if anytime there's some disaster, there's some problems, you always hear like the male politician say, "Boy, you know, as a father, this really offends me." Like this happened with when Trump was running for president, and the tape with him and Billy Bush came out, and you had all these conservative politicians going, you know, as a husband and father of three, this deeply offends me. And it's like, how about just as a human?
Yeah.
Does it deeply offend you then? Like, why do you have to have a personal relationship with a woman to value women? And that's kind of how this feels to me.
Sure.
Sort of like he's kind of excusing like the way he might have been. Like, that's problem one I have with this. The other problem is like, he's basically slut shaming his future daughter before she's even done anything. And he's kind of slut shaming his wife.
How is he slut shaming?
Let's see. Don't do yoga. Don't do Pilates. I pray your body's draped more like mine and not your mommy's.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I don't know if that's slut shaming more than just like absolute fear. So I'll say as a father of a daughter, right?
Which is why I know you're going to have a very different perspective on this. And I want to hear that.
Okay. So my daughter's 12. She'll be 13 in a couple months. My daughter's starting to develop, and it's weird. Like, if I'm honest, I'm fearful of it. And I think when people say, okay, I'll say that and I'll go back to that point. I'm fearful of it, but I also understand that it's life. And if I teach her about her body and how to value herself, then I wouldn't have to tell her to not do yoga or Pilates, though I understand what Kanye is saying. I think the problem is that when fathers are protective of their daughters, they get dismissed as just being overprotective, as if our opinion or perspective does not matter because we're dads and dads are supposed to be unrealistically overprotective. Like, no, we understand that men are creeps. Me too. You know, and this is why. And we want you to avoid how we have treated other women. And I think the perspective of men who, suddenly, you know, I think somebody tweeted, but like, your daughter is not spiritual retribution for your misogyny. I totally get that. However, I'm also under the belief that sometimes having, because we talked about it last week with casual misogyny, right? That was the hot button topic of our show.
Yeah.
So many men are just, misogyny is just so embedded in our culture, we don't even realize we're doing it until maybe after we've done it a couple of hundred times. And so maybe having a daughter or having a wife or having a sister or having a mother kind of makes you realize, okay, this is like the way that you are treating this other woman is how somebody is going to treat this woman who's in your life that you love, that you honor, that you cherish, that you're extremely protective of. So I don't want to throw it all out and say it's one thing. I think it's both.
It's fair.
I think it's both.
I think this is an interesting thing with like Kanye being very transparent. Like, this is just unfiltered, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't stop to think like, I mean, to me, it's, I don't know. He I don't think at any point in this verse he stopped to think like, how could I say this or how should I say this? Like, this is just how I wanted to say it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. This song does not feel right to me.
If, you know, and what's amazing is I feel like people, because it's not really common knowledge that this album got scrapped. I think people were still wanting Kanye to respond to all the things that he kind of tweeted about, even though he cleared up the slavery is a choice. He totally cleared that up a couple days ago or however long. But I definitely saw a stream of tweets that where he cleared it up and it made sense. And nobody said anything because everybody was upset and it was kind of too little too late, I guess, in the eyes of many. So I feel like people were going into this album sort of ready to be offended.
Mm.
Some people were ready to be offended. And so some of these things, if this is the stuff that offends you, what was on the original version of the album? I'm curious.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. And it sounds like stuff was scrapped and not just like put off to the side. So I think all these like good music, I think all this stuff is just happened. Like, it's not like we're going to hear like a version of it, of this stuff on like Kids See Ghosts. You know, it's not like he like scrapped it to like save the Kid Cudi album. I think it's like scrapped.
Yeah, I think it's done. We won't see any of that stuff.
And it's amazing.
Maybe we'll
too,
see if like, Beat is so repurposed. But
right, because like he worked on stuff for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of music that, and it's amazing. Like, most of this stuff just all happened. I mean, it all definitely got scrapped after TMZ, but like it sounds like a lot of this stuff really came together like the last week.
I would agree with that. So what's interesting is now you've got this Kanye and Cudi album.
Yeah.
If you put the Kanye and the Kanye and Cudi album together,
don't think I'm not going to try that when it comes out.
Because here's for me, starting at God, I can't even think of the name of the record. I don't know why I don't have a track list pulled up. I'm super trash.
I Thought About Killing You, Yikes, All Mine, Wouldn't Leave, No Mistake.
Wouldn't Leave. Starting at Wouldn't Leave, I feel like he's hitting a stride musically.
Oh, that's super interesting. Cause like,
and then the album just ends.
I think 1, 2, and 3 musically are more interesting than 4, 5, and 7. At least 4 and 7. Like Wouldn't Leave and Violent Crimes, I'm kind of like, meh. Eh,
yeah.
Meh.
But I think you don't like those songs because of the content.
No, I mean, even musically, like Violent Crimes, it's not like this is a great beat or anything.
Yeah.
And
why did he put Nicki at the end?
Because he wanted to make sure there was no, that nobody thought it was beef.
Beef with who?
Nicki. People could take that line a certain way.
Really?
I hope she like Nicki. I'll make her a monster, not having menages.
It's wordplay. Okay, never mind. Okay.
It's all wordplay, right. But on a song like this.
Okay. And Nicki's like the poster child for, you know, what you don't want your daughter to be, right? I think people would say that.
Right.
I think people would say that. So, okay. I think that's like Pusha benefited from 7 tracks because Pusha's one dimensional. He's a one trick pony, but he does that one trick really, really well.
Yeah.
And so you get just enough because really this week I was on a Pusha binge.
Mm.
And honestly, out of all his projects, there's probably a handful of tracks on each album. So My Name Is My Name has like 5 records that are incredible. Darkest Before Dawn has like 3 or 4 records that are really dope. Fear God has like 4 or 5 records that are really dope. So it totally works for you to just create 7 tracks. Kanye, if we're looking at College Dropout to now, 23 tracks, 27 tracks, 15 tracks, 14 tracks. He's able to like start off on a rhythm, start off, get his rhythm, and then take off. There's never a takeoff moment on this album.
Mm.
He's like just now revving up and then the album's over. And so maybe the Cudi album, if it features some of the scrap stuff, if it features some of the stuff that they didn't get to finish, because if they pulled Ghost Town over from Kitsy Ghost,
yeah,
then, you know, maybe it was like, okay, we want each of the theme is for each one of these songs, each one of these projects that have 7 songs. They were cool with 6, but they had Ghost Town sitting there. Like, this one's done. Let's just pull it from it. And then that'll give us, we'll have more time and we can just create another song. So if you put those together, if there's a 1.5, this might be a little better. But
I mean, let's about the album. Let's just say this is his weakest album. Not even close.
So I went back and listened to Yeezus this week,
which is really good.
Oh, Yeezus is one of those albums time was very kind to.
Very kind.
I think time was very kind to Yeezus.
Even if you just take like Black Skinhead, Blood on the Leaves, New Slaves. And I really love Bound 2. I don't think you like Bound 2, right?
I did. It just kind of, it was the song that I really liked, so I just played it to death.
Like, those 4 songs alone are
I'm not gonna
like,
lie, I like On Sight too.
Oh, I like On Sight. I mean, I like I Am a God, actually. I'm In It, which could be the filthiest song you could possibly imagine, is so well done and has catchy melodies that you don't want to sing, but you do. No, Yeezus is way stronger than this album. Way stronger.
Is this album worse than an album that we're not crazy about, but I think people would go back and listen to our Kanye retro when we, I think we tried to rank his discography.
Oh,
I think you and I both had Late Registration fairly low, right?
Late Registration is way better than this.
Okay.
Like, here's the thing, and here's what I come back to. Like, even, so Pablo is a problematic album. It
okay.
has the opposite problems for this album.
Which are?
It's too long.
Yeah.
It's overstuffed.
Yeah.
Right. But that, like, Father Stretch My Hands and Famous and Fade. Like, these are songs.
That first run.
These are songs when you heard them, you were like, oh my God. And when we heard this live stream, my first thought for these records, I was like, I don't know. And I'm not saying that that's always a problem, because you can grow to appreciate songs, but there's there's very little on here. There are parts of songs on here where you're like, oh yeah. But there's not as much here where you're just like, oh wow.
Agreed. Wow. I agree.
And that's a really high standard, but it's Kanye West.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, ranking his discography is rough.
Ah, I still got Graduation at the top. I know you have, what do you have, Dark Twisted Fantasy up there?
I don't know. I really like Yeezus.
You've got Yeezus at the top?
I don't say I have it at the top. College Dropout, Dark Twisted Fantasy. I don't know. I might have to think. Yeah.
Yeah.
His discography is incredible.
It is. It is.
You almost need tears.
Kind of. Jay has three tiers.
Right. So there's Blueprint, American Gangster, and Reasonable Doubt. That's tier one.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to disagree, but I'm going to say Black Album and...
You better say it.
What am I saying here?
I know what you're not going to say. I'm not expecting you to say 444.
No, I'm not going
to say 444. I'm expecting you to say another album.
I might put Volume 1 here. I don't know. It gets tough after that.
Yeah, I would put... I think those three are up there. Many people have 444 up there. I'm not mad at Black Album being in that second tier. I don't think it's classic, but I understand why people say it is. I think it's a classic moment in hip hop. I don't think it's a perfect album or a classic album. It's got classic moments on there.
That's kind of the secret of Jay's albums, discography wise.
Right.
It's
right.
Really top heavy.
Yep.
And then there's a lot of snoozers.
I'm also going to put Dynasty in that second tier.
Yeah, though. Dynasty might be there too.
That was the one I was hoping you would say.
Yeah, you're right on Dynasty. But look, I have fond memories of Volume 3, but Volume 2, I mean, Blueprint 2?
I think 2 might be in that second tier too.
2 is the people's champ, but a lot of that hasn't aged well.
Correct.
But Magna Carta, Holy Grail?
Terrible.
Right? Blueprint 3?
Not as bad.
But not great. Was. Right?
Not great, but not terrible. Honestly, I feel like Blueprint 3 is underrated.
I think it's underrated.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But Kanye's discography is incredible.
Yeah, so
his album discography is incredible.
So College Dropout is classic.
It's classic. Late Registration is classic.
It's classic, but I'm not crazy about it.
It's a four-mic classic.
There you go. Graduation to me
classic.
It's classic, almost flawless to me. It's the closest thing he's put out to a flawless album.
808's is classic.
808's transition music. 808's right. Changed urban music.
Dark Twisted Fantasy is classic.
Yeah.
It's regarded by many.
Not for me, but I won't argue it. I won't argue it down.
I think Yeezus is great. I think Pablo is mostly pretty good and has stuff I would clean up.
Listen, y'all. This is what made me mad. Do not compare Ye to Pablo.
Okay, tell me why, and then we can sort of wrap up here.
I think I agree with you. I think your assessment was perfect. Sometimes I go on Tidal and I watch Season 3 at Madison Square Garden. And I remember when you bought tickets to watch it in the movie theater, and I made fun of you, and I judged you, and I said, what are you doing, and you're trash, and you weren't able to go.
That's right. I had a work thing.
You had a work thing, so you couldn't go.
But I watched the stream.
I regret not hearing Father Stretch My Hands for the first time in a movie theater. I think that would have blown my mind.
Mm.
I just go back and I watch the build up and watch Cudi and Kanye. I feel like on the live stream, they tried to recreate the excitement of Pablo. They were excited for Pablo. And I think because that music, I think the music on Ye was so new, they were trying to recreate that excitement in the listening session, but I think they were still listening to it as it's not done yet. Kanye's listening to it, rapping along with it, but you can just watch the wheels turn in his head. Man, I want to fix this. I want to do this. I want to do this. So he wasn't able to enjoy it. But Pablo has its flaws, but the great stuff is flipping great.
It's so good.
Fade is flipping great.
Fade has to be. That's one of his most underrated songs.
1000%. Fade is phenomenal. The good stuff on that album is so good. Do not compare Ye to Pablo. Don't do it. Don't do it. So yeah, I mean, as we're going through it, I've got Yeezus. I've had Yeezus as his worst. We're probably going to put Ye below that. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, because I felt this way. I thought about this and I had a conversation with a listener of the show. I won't put him on blast, but he loves the album.
Mm.
And like, I don't try to argue him down. However, I wonder if it's one of those albums that maybe in 3 years, 5 years, I'll say, you know what? Ye wasn't that bad. Or Ye was good. I don't know. Because I know how I felt about Yeezus. But Black Skinhead to me is freaking ridiculous.
Undeniable.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one last thing. I think that Daytona really gave him room to do whatever he wanted. I mean, essentially, like, if Daytona mm-hmm. doesn't come out, people are asking a lot of questions about if he still got it.
Mm. I won't disagree with that.
Because look, there's a lot of good stuff happening musically here. But Kanye's stuff is typically like he is either setting trends or he is recombining music in ways where you're just like, oh, I didn't even know we were doing that. And there's not a lot of that happening here, right? But Daytona is so lean, and he was in a zone when doing some of those beats, and that for the real hardcore hip hop fan, they're happy with Daytona. Like, the rest of this is gravy. And so mm-hmm. I'm sort of assuming that the Cudi album kind of sounds similar to Ye, but I have no clue what this Nas album's gonna sound like.
Bruh, and Nas has not said a word other than I heard in Wyoming he confirmed that it is coming out on the 15th.
I was going to say, has Nas heard any of the beats?
Right.
Did Nas rap to certain tempos and Ye's just in there trying to find stuff that works?
Yeah, are they doing what Drake and 40 did with Pound Cake? Did they just get a bunch of acapellas and Ye's just fitting stuff around it?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
But I this is so different than Daytona. And maybe that's a credit to Kanye.
Sure, I think it is.
Right, maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. Like, I think a lot of this could be polished up more and, you know, clearly it was like, well, we're putting it out and this is what we're doing. It's interesting how unfinished it is that he still was like, nope, it's coming out.
Right.
Because he's never had issue with delaying. But yeah, like, this is so different than Daytona. I guess I gotta give him credit. And so sure, like, who knows what Kid See Ghost is gonna sound like, although probably you'll be able to draw a comparison, you know, you'll be able to see the connection with this album. But like I said, Nas, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But I'm curious because if he gets in the same zone for Nas that he got for Pusha, then we'll be okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of those beats I would like, yes, I'd like to hear Nas on that. And some of those beats I'm like, actually no.
Well, I mean, I don't want to hear him on those Daytona beats, but I'm saying like many of if not all that production, whether I like it or not, fits Push perfectly.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. If he's able to lock in and say, okay, I'm crafting beats for Nas, then, you know, we should. Because if we're looking at what records has Kanye produced for Nas? Still Dreaming? Papa Was a Player?
Yeah. Wait, isn't there another one?
I feel like there's a third. They got that. They have that. I don't think Kanye did the beat, but they have that Figure It Out record with French.
Oh, right. Now I'm looking this up. Hold up. Of course, if you try to Google for like Kanye West and Nas, what do you get? The new album. We Major.
We Major. You Made Me with From the Harlem World album.
You Made Me.
With Carl Thomas.
Oh, they were on that record Classic. Remember that?
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Who was that? That was Kanye, Rakim, KRS, and who?
Nas.
And Nas. Duh, stupid.
Produced by Primo and Rick Rubin.
Primo. Of course Rick Rubin was on that. That record's too clean for it to just be Primo.
Didn't we joke last week or the week before that with Rick Rubin getting involved, that there were going to be like, that he was going to cut this album down to nothing?
We did. And it sounds like they probably did a lot and Rick Rubin was like, you don't need that.
No. All right. Anything else you want to say about this Kanye album?
No, I think we've said all that needed to be said. I'm curious to know what our listeners think about our reviews and our recaps of disc records and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody, thank you for listening. And please hit us up at CRS Podcast and let us know what you think about everything, right? Drake and Pusha, all aspects of this Kanye album. Who knows? Maybe we've got the NBA finals wrong and you want to tell us about that. It's all good. We try to read it all on Twitter. So hit us up. And Armand, you got anything else, man?
Nope. I'm good. See you guys.
probably in a week.
Next week.